Where are you trying to get to, miss?
I want to get to Hastings Street.
Why do you want to go to Hastings Street?
It doesn't matter. I just want to fucking just fuck.
You fucking crackhead! Don't fucking get the fuck out of my car. I don't go to fucking Hastings. You fucking crackhead bitch!
You'll take me there. I'll fucking pay you.
Get the fuck out! Get the fuck out!
Fuck you!
Rainy days,
washing the crack away. I'm on my way to where there's tricks, not treats. Can you tell me how to get
to Hastings Street? How to get to Hastings Street? How do you get to? I said, how do you get to?
Coming down.
Oh, he's coming down.
I'm shaking.
Some are gay. You might get AIDS from all this fucking needles. He's gonna shit his pants. Dead guys laying on the street.
What are you giving me these books? I found these books. They're good. Look at this. Look at this book.
Can you tell me how to get to Hastings Street?
Just give me 50 cents.
I don't even know where the fuck I am. Some guy like dropped me off and like kicked me out of his car and said like, fuck you, bitch. And like, oh, where the hell is Hastings Street?
Do you want
to? Excuse me, sir. 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 Sir!
I don't have any money.
I want to know how to get to Hastings Street.
Get away from me,
can you just
please.
Tell me how to... No! Sir! Sir!
Just go to the safe injection site. They will help you inject your drugs.
That's not even on Hastings Street.
I wouldn't know. I'm not a junkie like you. I wouldn't know where the safe injection site is.
I just want to know where Hastings Street is.
I don't do drugs.
I don't want to go to the safe injection site! I just want to go to Hastings Street!
Can you tell me how to get to Hastings Street?
How to get to Hastings Street?
Do you want to go to Gastown and see the steam clock?
No, I want to go to Hastings Street and get some fucking crack, man.
So, Aaron, how the fuck have you been?
Pretty good, you?
Not bad. Yeah, it's been a little while since we did a show.
Not too long.
No, just a few extra days. We didn't get one done last weekend, so I did my pastiche show. My audio scrapbook.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool, just that we had enough shit just laying around that I could just kind of... I mean, maybe it wasn't quite as...
There was literally shit laying around.
Yeah, and I mean, so it had its ups and downs, but I don't know, it was fun to make. I liked it.
It worked.
I liked the whole style of it, where it was just like some shit and then some weird songs and music and old crap and no explanation whatsoever. It's like, try to keep up, fuckers.
Weird.
It was good. It was fun.
So I heard something really weird today.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't know. I already hate cell phones. And I'm sure you know this. Like, I hate cell phones. Like,
right.
I love to break people's faces every time I see them with their stupid cell phones.
Yeah, you don't have a cell phone, do you?
No, I won't. Anyways, but today on the news when I was laying here, I was watching it. And there's this, like, thing they have for kids because kids are cell phones and Blackberries and all their pagers and shit are disrupting the classes. And teachers are getting really upset.
Right.
So scientists have actually invented a ringtone called the mosquito ringtone.
Right.
And what it does is sends off like a few high like pitch frequencies that only people under 30 can hear.
Really?
It's scientifically proven that 96% of the people over 30 can't hear this sound.
Man, well, that's like, I was at Science World, watched one of those big IMAX deals, and they
were
talking about how the way you hear is these tiny little hairs by like your ear bone or whatever, and they curl up and die. So you literally,
when you lose
kid,
that part of your hearing.
Yeah, like your audio spectrum is never as good when you get older. It just keeps getting worse.
Well, yeah. What are you saying, Keith? This is our 9,287th show.
Fucking cool though. I like that.
Isn't
idea.
That weird? So it's like So kids can like little kids can hear it more, and like over 30, like 12% of people or whatever can hear it. I'm bad at math, you guys. Lots of people can hear it. Little bit, not very many people can't. I heard the sound. They played it on TV. I heard it.
Cool.
I'm 25, though, so I still got a few years left in my hearing. I have pretty good hearing.
I mean, I do have a little crappy cell phone because I needed a phone. It's one of those pay and talk ones because I couldn't get on a cell phone plan.
Yeah, but you're
I
not
no
annoying
credit.
With your cell phone.
Well, that's the thing. I don't understand fucking ringtones. I never, ever, ever have this thing on ring. I just have it on vibrate, so it's in my pocket. It vibrates, I take it out. Because, man, it's so fucking...
Hello.
Weird and annoying and embarrassing. Like,
Konnichiwa.
I've seen people. I've seen dudes. I remember this one time by Blends. I was waiting at the bus stop, and this guy, like, business suit guy or whatever, right? You know, is right. all. And fucking one cell phone starts ringing, and it's like, my humps, my humps, my humps. And it's like, you faggot, you know? Yeah. And I thought maybe he was borrowing, like, his sister's phone or something. But he answers, and he's all like, yeah, it's me. Uh-huh. Yeah. You better have it ready. He's like all hardcore business. It's like, you fucking queer. God. What the hell was that ringtone? How are you not embarrassed to let people hear that?
All of a sudden you hear dun dun. Dun dun. You're like, oh no.
At least if people had like old 80s ones and shit, I think we're alone now. That would be all right. You know?
Yeah, that'd be. You can put any song on it.
That would at least be
thing.
Funny.
But yeah, but people don't do that shit because people aren't funny. Yeah. People don't think. They just do it. Follow their masses.
I know. It's fucking ridiculous.
Assholes.
So anybody out there,
fucking selves.
If you have like a candy shop ringtone, fucking kill yourself.
Kill that fucking shit.
Jesus.
Get a goddamn real song. Put a real ring on it at least. If you're going to have a phone, just let it ring. The way a phone is meant to ring.
Although that's weird too when people have like their
the
ring.
Old school ring.
They have ring.
It's like the old rattling phone on the hook. Yeah, fucking rotary dial and gay shit.
So the most exciting news for me this week is old man Wikipedia. Man, because I gotta say,
I think that's my most exciting news this week too.
I fucking love the Wikipedia. I love it. It's fucking excellent. I never
I
use
like it for everything.
I never use it for anything real. Like I never look up actual information.
No, just weird shit.
Who knows if it's right or not? And well, like my friend Mark read the whole page on the Civil War though, so it is still kind of cool for stuff like that. Like there you go. Here's the whole Civil War, and you can read it all in like 2 hours. But I just use it for like fucking Buffy the Vampire Slayer or like Devo album by album and just shit like that. So, because I fucking love pop culture. I love it.
I just look up whatever.
And, like, that's how you know you're a part of pop culture, when you're on the Wikipedia. And we are now on the Wikipedia.
We are officially on the Wikipedia. We have made pop culture.
Because
people, it's happening.
And we could have done it ourselves. That's the whole point. But, I mean, you can't write about yourself on Wikipedia. That's sad. That's like jerking off. It's just masturbation. But if someone else writes about you, that's like getting a blowjob.
We got online blowjob.
Here's what we got. You look up Logaria, we're like item number 6, Logaria the podcast. Here, why don't read our little...
All right. Well, started in May of 2006, Logaria is a perverted humor podcast out of Vermont. The hosts are Keith McNally and Aaron, last name unknown. They are not in a romantic relationship, but all they ever talk about is sex. Their RSS feed is blah, blah, Logaria is...
Yeah, so... Close, but no cigar. I think it's awesome that somebody put that in, but Vermont? What the fuck?
Vermont. We're from upstate East Coast America. I love how I fit in over there.
I know people always say this about how Americans are just like so, you know, like fucking blinders. They only see America. But it's like the guy heard a V word and he's like,
it's got to be Vermont.
Was it Virginia or Vermont? It had to be one of the two. Or like,
we'll go Vermont. Even we'll roll a dice.
When you bring up Vancouver, sometimes people are like Vancouver, BC or Vancouver, Washington. No one gives a fuck about Vancouver, Washington.
No.
Fuck Vancouver, Washington. Yeah. What the hell?
Washington.
Yeah. Has anyone ever been talking about Vancouver, Washington? Ever? Does anyone give a shit?
I have to find people in Vancouver, Washington often at work.
Really?
A lot.
Of deadbeats who haven't paid their bills?
Right.
Well, same thing with like when my friend Matt came down to New York to see me do my stand-up. So I was like, yeah, my friend's coming from New Brunswick. And everyone's like, oh, you mean big New Brunswick from Canada. I thought you meant New Brunswick, New Jersey.
Yeah, there is a New Brunswick, New Jersey.
Fuck New Brunswick, New Jersey. Like, every little backward-ass fucking bullshit place in the States.
There's like a New Brunswick, Maine, too, or New Brunswick, Connecticut, or
really?
Something. Yeah, I found a couple New Brunswicks.
So first off, stop stealing our fucking Indian stolen names, you fucks.
Yeah. Leave Vancouver alone. We're from Vancouver. Get it straight.
But yeah, so Wikipedia had... Vancouver, that's what you want. Not Vermont, Vancouver. And my last name's misspelled. It's the common EY misspelling because, you know, people equate it with Keith Malley's name.
And my name might be Eva Logaria, a.k.a. Aaron.
So anybody wants to go in and fix our, you know, fucking Wikipedia entry, be my guest. But I can't touch it myself. I'm honor-bound not to because it would just be lame. I can't write my own entry.
I just thought it was really funny when I read that. So thanks to the guy who read it or, like, made that known. But
that
it wasn't
so
mean.
Cool.
We
mean,
didn't think it was very mean or rude. It was funny. It was really it was just confusing.
Very weird, though. It is kind of like, obviously, the guy kind of listens and knows a bit about it. So he's like, I don't know, dudes. They just talk about sex. Like, I don't know. I have this like, kind of disconnect in my brain. I still...
I don't know.
Doesn't seem to me like we're that perverted.
No,
I don't know. But
I don't really get that.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll have to try harder.
The other day, I got back from a long, long day of working, and it was like the day that all the new magazines came to 7-Eleven.
Oh, yeah, that day.
And it was like, oh, man, just a fucking barrage of... there's Christina Aguilera's in the new GQ, naked as hell, just totally fucking naked.
Right.
And Tara Patrick was on the cover of the new FHM, a whole bunch of fucking awesome shit. I was like, holy fuck, that's crazy.
Wow.
But the thing is, and after the whole day of sitting at work and working hard, I was like, oh man, that's awesome. Look at these hot chicks. But then something happened when I got home, jump on the internet. You can get all these pictures for free, but it just wasn't exciting. It's like, eh, and that's just pictures, right? So it's like something about the magazines at the 7-Eleven in the public space makes it hotter, seeing these half-naked chicks. So what I was thinking...
You have the actual picture in your hand.
Yeah, and I don't know, it's just, I'm not quite sure why. Maybe it's just like the publicness of it. But I think I'm going to have to start figuring out how I can masturbate at 7-Eleven. That's my new goal. My friend's
boyfriend decided that he would pee under the table in a restaurant that she used to work at. They went there to go get some food after like the bar one night because it's the only place open in their area. And they're sitting at the table waiting for the takeout food, and he pulls his pants down and pees all into the floor.
That's
and
awesome.
Like nobody noticed, and they just left.
That's fucking great. I read somewhere that Bam Margera does that all the time.
Pees under tables?
Just anywhere. He says if you pee in public, as long as you don't draw attention to the fact that you're pissing, people won't notice. Like say you're at a gas pump and you're pumping your car. If you just pull down your zipper and pull your dick out, but you're not holding your dick or looking at your dick or standing in a position that looks like you're peeing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then your dick can be in plain view and people just won't notice.
I saw a penis the other day in plain view just driving down the street.
Really?
You know, like on the corner of like Main Street, like where you go down, there's that market. There's that big market down there.
Right.
Well, some guy was like going crazy and he was like freaking out. I'm like, as I said this, I was like, hey, I want to go to that market one day. And then this psycho guy starts like freaking out and then he pulls his cock out. And I was just like, weird. Some Asian guy. He's all nuts.
Was it big?
No. It looked just like a little nub. It looked like a, it looked like a small little ball. It was a ball. I don't know what the fuck it was. It was a dick. It was gross. I don't talk about it.
Tiny dicks are fucking funny. I don't know. Just crack me up. They're so little. So you remember that thing I was talking about? McDonald's. The drive-thru? The call center thing?
That's fucked up.
So I'm reading that book now because Mark just finished it. And how nerdy is that? He's like, hey, I just finished my 500-page book about globalization. Would you like to read it? And I'm like, oh, absolutely. We're cool. Let's read books. But, I got to that part about the McDonald's, and not only do they do that stuff through the drive-thru, they do it in the store, too. You can go to the counter if you want, but they've got all these tables set up where you sit at the table. I think this is so cool. This is like Jetson shit. There's a little phone on the table with a credit card reader. You pick up the phone. It dials the call center. You swipe your card, order what you want, and then they send that to the kitchen, and they bring you your food to your table.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that cool?
That's even weird. That is really Jetson. We fly in there.
Everything is going so fast now, changing so quick. Like 10 years from now, it's going to be a whole different world, man. It's fucking cool. I'm excited. I love it. Hey, just to switch stuff up a little, because I liked the format of that last show that I did with all the, the piece together one with all the weird miscellaneous different
shit. Oh, yeah. That was pretty funny.
So let's just throw in a wee little tune for a sec. I was listening to the live version of this Ween song. It's this song about a kid who has spinal meningitis.
Oh, God.
And
I watched a movie about a kid who had that once.
Oh, yeah?
It was creepy.
Okay, listen real close. You can hear the audience singing along to this spinal meningitis song. It's fucking creepy.
Hey.
Yeah.
Spinal meningitis.
I fucking love that. You can hear the people just am I gonna die?
Am I gonna die? Mommy, it hurts.
That is so fucking creepy. Just dudes singing along to this little kid having spinal meningitis song. I thought that was so weird, man. It's just like, what the fuck?
That's awesome. Who's that by? Ween?
Ween, yeah, man. Ween is such
That's
a weird
awesome.
Band. Like, they got this
song. I kind of thought it was like Wesley Willis or something like that.
They have these just like beautiful songs. Like, I'll Miss You and Baby Bitch. They're just like, just the prettiest tunes you could ever hear.
Right.
And then they've got like put the coke on my dick. And
spinal meningitis.
And this song about the mollusk that makes no fucking sense. They're a weird fucking band. But I was just like, dude, that's so creepy. Like, because usually it's cool when you hear live stuff and everyone's singing along, but they're like, am I going to die? It's like, you shouldn't be singing to that. That is fucking weird, man.
I don't think I've laughed so hard as I have in the last, like, however long we've been doing this show for.
That just,
man,
weirded me out so much.
That is so funny.
Let's see here. Oh, yeah. So, speaking of Brockett 99, I'm glad to say that, like, last time I searched for Brockett, it was back in New Brunswick, pre-Google right. days, but I couldn't find anything about it. And I was worried that I was, like, the last keeper of the flame of this Brockett thing, because nobody except
like
me and my friends ever heard of it. Yeah, exactly. And I had it on a little cassette tape, and, man, I missed the days of cassettes. Like, the cassette got so worn out, I had to take little screwdriver and take the case apart and put it in a new case.
I've done that. Yeah. Like, repair it.
And then I eventually transferred it to CD, but even that was just by playing the tape really right. loud and recording it through a mic. Like, I later learned how to hook an analog tape machine into a computer and make it digital, but I didn't know how to do that at the time. So that's why the first Brockett thing that I played last episode was really rough sounding and had parts missing and shit. And I was going to play the whole thing in little bits because I thought maybe I was bringing this back to the world. Like, you know, like
right.
it was like almost gone. But I'm glad to say I did a search and there are some Brockett sites out there now. Maybe they've been there all along and I couldn't find them.
We could Wikipedia it.
Yeah, it's probably actually probably there. But
some ideas anyway.
Here's your homework assignment. Go to Brockett99.ca. There's two Brockett sites, but this is the one where you can get it for free. You can download the whole thing for free. And you should, because it's fucking hilarious. So I won't play the whole thing, but I played some last week, and I'll play a little bit this week. But you guys should totally go download it. It is so fucking awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
So and
we're
also
actually thinking about maybe doing our own, like, 2006 version of Brockett 99.
So fuck you!
Just take your shit down. I need some fucking tobacco. Get me it now. Fuck you, people.
And I found out a bit of the history of Brockett, because I didn't know anything about it. So
I don't know. I was just going with what I heard.
So it came out of Lethbridge, Alberta.
Oh, I was closer.
Yeah,
you thought it was Winnipeg.
Right. Well, when I first got it, was from Manitoba. Yeah,
right.
And then you guys heard of it in
Saskatchewan.
Saskatchewan. But it was actually Alberta where it began.
Nice.
And now that I know that, like, there's little references all over the place. The bridge in and get down. Get the best thing to do would be get one of your friends to go down to Lethbridge and pick you up a fucking case of whiskey. But
the best thing you could do.
So it was the mid-80s, like 86, I think, that this thing got made?
Yeah, that makes sense. Because I heard it when I was probably about grade 5.
Yeah, when I heard it, it was a lot after that. But it was like 90s, mid-90s. So it's fucking old as hell. But there's this one dude who everyone assumes was Ernie Skar and made the thing, but he will never admit it. And this is how big of a deal this thing was, especially in those mega Indian provinces. It's just the fact that they can't prove who it was
right.
has made that the Alberta Human Rights Commission cannot do anything about Brockett. But they would if they could, and that's fucked. It's like, it's just a joke, you know? Relax. I mean, I'd be a little pissed maybe if I was an Indian, but it's funny, you know?
Who cares?
A lot
Get
of Indians
it.
Are drunken bums. That's all there is to it, you know? I mean, everyone makes fun of white trash whiteys, too, you know? We
or,
don't get upset
yeah,
about it.
Yeah, any race gets made fun of.
And now for today's Brockett funeral announcements, brought to you by the Brockett Funeral Home.
We honor pre-planning is an important aspect of any funeral, and being prepared and making sure you got the insurance you can get the money back. Brockett Funeral Directors is ready to help you day or night. We'll get them in the bag and down the chute within the hour. If he's been in a motorcycle accident, fell out of the back of the truck or whatever, we'll put some makeup on him, make him look nice, and put him in a nice box for reasonable fee, too. Remember, all is well, all will be well. Or, if all is in order, yeah, if all is in order, all will be well. Brockett Funeral Home. Call 825-1976 in Brockett. Here are today's Brockett funeral announcements. Joey Prairie Chicken was killed on Friday night when he was laying on the highway. They picked him up and brought him back yesterday. Funeral service is courtesy of Flying Chicken Funeral Home. Interment to follow in Barakat Cemetery. Perry Brokenhead was killed last weekend, but his body wasn't found until Thursday afternoon. He was pretty well decomposed by that time, but his family scraped enough money together, so they're having the funeral next Wednesday. Everybody that knew him is asked to please attend and bring a case of beer for the father-in-law. And finally today, Sammy shot both sides, was shot in the back on Friday. And we got a nice box. We got a nice box for him. We'll be laying him out on Friday evening after the first one. Prayers will be said for him in the big teepee down by the outskirts of Brockett, half an hour before the funeral procession to the Brockett Cemetery. Once again, please bring a case of beer for the family. Those are today's Brockett funeral announcements. Be listening again tomorrow at the same time for your Brockett funeral directory.
So, yeah, so that's the story of Brockett, though. Just these guys made this thing, and apparently, like, the guy made it, you know, on a tape. And I love old shit, too. He's like, that's the end of side one of Brockett. But if you got the auto-reverse in the car, don't fucking worry about it. It'll just auto-reverse. You don't even need to turn the tape over. Man, the 80s. Good times. But he made, like...
I remember auto-reverse.
He made, like, 10 copies of this thing and just passed it around to his friends. And then they made copies and they made copies. And then, you know, you guys had copies. Over in New Brunswick, we had copies. Now it's on the internet. Everyone has copies. I think that's so fucking cool, you know?
Well, I think it's
like,
pretty damn funny.
It
They're
lived.
Everywhere.
For 20 years, Brockett has survived.
Oh, it'll keep living. The internet's not going to let that
yeah.
shit die.
Oh, it's great. And I'm just so glad that it's out there, that it's not just me with my one shitty fucking CD with the corrupted tracks that
it's good.
Lived through a decade. Man, I'm so glad someone else took up the fucking torch and kept that shit going.
Oh, someone always will.
I fucking love Brockett. Okay, let's go back to Gross Outland for a moment. On the internet, going back to internet porn... Connect the dots here. I've seen plenty of pictures of chicks with cum on their face, and I've actually seen a surprising number of pictures of girls that are drunk and out in public and they have to piss, so guys take pictures of them while they're taking a piss outdoors.
Right.
But the other day I saw a picture, I don't know where the fuck it came from or how it got made. This chick, big smile on her face, cum on her face, but fully clothed, with her pants down, pissing in a garbage can. So so it's like, it almost makes
that's
sense.
That's hilarious.
Like, if they're out in public and they've been drinking a lot and she has to piss and she's like, there's a garbage can, I'll piss in it. But how, where did the cum come from? Why is there cum on her face?
Maybe she was pissing and some guys were jerking off on her.
I don't know.
Really quick.
And she was all happy, just like, hey, everybody. It's like, holy weird, man. I don't know.
Family portrait.
That was seriously strange.
That's funny.
Let's see. I think I'm almost out of shit. Is this even worth saying?
No.
I just want to say this is a public service. I said this back on one of our demo shows. I'm going to say it again. You're in fucking 7-Eleven and you're buying your Slurpee or your coffee or whatever, and you see all the cup sizes.
Right.
I'm not even going to bother. Fuck it. Just you fatties. You don't need big cups. Yeah, I guess I got nothing else to say.
I got nothing else to say.
Okay.
Fuck you, assholes.
We're done.
Bye.
It's the Logaria for anyone partying this morning.
So, I mean, you get one message saying, okay, it's cool to be in an army financed by drugs and all these Contra games. But then, once you get to the USA, then the other side of the coin is played. And you know where I'm going with this. There's no stronger war on drugs game. Come on, I'll give you 5 seconds to think about it. Okay, give you a hint. Crash helmets. That's right. Narc. There was no game that said, you know what, just fuck it. Fuck it. Here's our new drug policy. We're going to run over drug dealers with a Porsche, okay? That's our new drug policy. And if they're still limping around, then we're going to get out an Uzi and we're going to fucking spray them and their dogs too, okay? Fuck it. fucking bust it. That's what you would say. You could walk up to the guy and bust him, or if you didn't feel like walking over there, you could blow him the fuck away with a gun.
Everybody, this is a special bonus episode of Loggeria with no Aaron whatsoever. We got my good friend Marcus here.
Hello, everyone. My name's Mark, and I know Keith, and that's why I'm on the show right now.
That's right. I've known him for many a year back in New Brunswick, and you're
Wherever
here.
That is.
That's right. I fucking had to draw a picture for a guy once, and he's like, New Brunswick, is that the one above Quebec? It's like, what the
There's
fuck?
No one above... you can't forget about the territories now.
You can forget it, and you will forget about the territories, all right?
None of it.
Basically, let's see. How did the history of our various bands go?
Well, I think it all goes back to... what's the program called that you use?
Yeah. Well, basically, okay, so I think I should just go back a step further. When I got out of high school, I didn't go to university. I will never go to university. Fuck university. I can learn stuff by myself, fuckers. So stop trying to make me go. Like, anyone's trying to make me go. But and one of my things, I was like, you know what? I should learn how to make music. So it was a little bit of a tough process, actually. This was back in pre-millennial days.
Definitely.
Like late 90s, I guess.
Probably 98.
Yeah, something like that. And I got this program called Impulse Tracker.
Impulse Tracker.
Which was came after Scream Tracker and some various other trackers. And this thing was DOS based. Like, man, I remember when fucking Windows 3.1 came out, I was fucking pissed. I was like, fuck this shit. I don't want this shit. I want fucking DOS. But I needed it to play Warcraft, so.
Well.
Nothing I could do. So yeah, I was making all these weird spaced out beats, and I don't know, I still kind of dig some of them. Someday, I don't know, they'll see the light of day somehow. Maybe I should just have them playing in the background when we talk, so we'll be like a real radio station and be all like, yo,
they were way better than that.
Some of them. Not all of them. But yeah, I really like this Impulse Tracker program. It was like, you know, those player pianos
right.
where the thing would just turn and play. It was like that, except it would go down the list and play a sample at whatever frequency that you, or like, you know, the A through G
note
series.
And it could get
series.
Pretty complicated, some layers going of yeah. very shite.
So then, since I got that down, I believe we were watching Tom Green one night, and...
Remember Tom Green, people?
Man, he honestly was. Like, I don't think the Yanks got the full power of how fucking influential Tom Green really was. Because by the time he got there, he was on MTV, and in his book that I read, he was talking about how, you know, they're always fucking him around, and they wouldn't let him do what he wanted to do, yada, yada. But in Canada, like, we didn't catch most of his Rogers stuff. We only saw that later, some of it, because we weren't in Ottawa.
Right.
But his two seasons on the Canadian Comedy Network, man, it was fucking gold. It was so good, like... Nobody was that fucking awesome back then.
It's way more street.
Yeah, man, it was wicked. It was just like our little Canadian secret, and it was so great. And then you fucking Americans just homogenize and ruin everything. I mean, he still had some moments, but MTV won't let Tom Green just be Tom Green, you know? Why the fuck did you hire him if you're just going to be a bunch of retards about it?
Because they wanted to make tons of money.
And which they did, to be fair. And Freddy Got Fingered. That was a fucking brilliant movie. I laughed my fucking balls off. It was so fucking... And everyone's like, oh, that movie sucked, man. It's no good. They're wrong, Mark.
people.
They're absolutely. So anyway, somehow, I don't even know how we jumped from Tom, but Tom Green had his little rap shit, MC Face and stuff, and somehow we were talking about Tragically Hip, and if we had a band called Tragically Hip Hop, and
I don't know if anyone out there is going to know the Tragically Hip. Yeah, they don't tour in the States, so
they're like the fucking Beatles here, though. Like, yeah, everybody knows them in Canada.
It's true.
Yeah, they're a huge band. They've been around for like 20 years. They're just like
nonstop tours.
The Canadian content law is truly the Tragically Hip law. It just means the radio plays a Tragically Hip song every 2 hours. And we figured if we... the only reason it became like a rap project is because we can't sing. And I thought rapping was easy. Like, you're just talking, right?
Yeah.
Little did I know. It's much trickier than that. But yeah, so our whole plan was to do rap versions of Tragically Hip songs. And we never actually did.
Do you still have the original tape? Do you remember the album cover with the warning signs?
Can we borrow some money?
Can we borrow some money?
I can't remember what the warnings were anymore. They were fucking funny, though.
Do not use was one of them.
Not safe for like human consumption, except audio.
Open away from face.
That's a good one. Somebody should put that on their album. I like that one. But yeah, we had this fucking elaborate like whole history of neo-old-school records. Like, I seriously should make a Wikipedia page for it, except no one would ever go or care. But yeah, we had... it was neo-old-school records that it was called. Tragically Hip Hop was our first band. And we had our evil band that we hated called Fuck Your Neck and Blue Jeans.
Right.
And our manager
was...
They were
British.
Right. They basically hated the Queen. Fuck you, Queen. That was their whole shtick. I don't think we ever finished one of their songs either.
No.
And our management, I don't know why we had a fake manager. Mike Gogan was his name.
Yeah, who didn't exist.
Right. And we all had our rap names. You were Wrangle.
Correct.
Taken from Mr. Randall Graves of Clerks.
That's
right.
That's
I remember, so we were working on the movie about Tragically Hip Hop and the origin. And how did Wrangle's origin go?
Well, I remember we wrote it so it was going to be shot in the parking lot of Dad's work. And it was going to be that Mr. Jenkins' car was going to hit me, well, fake hit me, and which warped my spine and gave me superpowers, which I would have to wrangle for the rest of my life. Right. If you can call that a power.
I absolutely would. Yes, there's no more walking for you.
And your alias?
I was... didn't I start as... Raisin K, or was that just
Beat
in Road Rash?
K.
Yeah, I was too. I was like Beatmaster K, and I can't remember. I think I had an earlier name, and then I changed it to Doomcock. But I think I had a name before that. I think maybe it was Raisin K and then Doomcock. I don't know. And Raisin K was my name that I would use back in Road Rash for the Genesis, because it was fucking awesome, because it would always start your name as Player A, so I would change it to Player K. And then one day it just became Raisin K. And I just thought that sounded cool. I like.
Remember the California Raisins?
Vaguely. They sang and stuff?
Yeah, they did.
The less said about them, the
good
better.
Good times. Good times.
So it took us quite a long time, if I recall, to actually finish a song. But
Well, you had lots of songs, but before we ever put words to any of them,
right?
Quite a while.
Yeah, I still have piles of unused instrumentals just laying around. Although I also have tons of lyrics laying around that we never used, so we did have some stuff. But I remember this one song, the first one we finally finished, because we had a lot of people in this band. So like, there was a...
It was probably 9 or 10 people.
Yeah, there was a...
Some affiliates in
Matt
there as well.
Matt J., who was in New York with me, he was Sticky Socks.
Correct.
Which I believe started as like DJ Cum Socks or something, but he thought that was too sick, so he changed it to Sticky Socks. Who else was in it? My friend Brad, he was Leslie B. Moore, or Les B. Moore. Woohoo. That's some clever shit.
Yes, sir.
Your brother, he was Dr. Funk.
Dr. Funk, correct.
Let's see. That kid Ryan that I used to know, he was Scoopy DB.
Nice.
Jay Lemon, what was his name? He was Porno Zorro.
Porno Zorro. You remember them all. This is great.
Was Dan ever in Tragically Hip Hop?
I don't think he was
bands?
In Tragically Hip Hop. I think he came into some... He was, you know...
He made later appearances.
In the greater umbrella project that is Neo Old School.
Lars, also, he was the famous No Deal. With
No Deal.
The no being a zero instead of a no. That was his internet thing.
Yeah, that's right.
I think that pretty much covers it, but that's a pretty fucking good base of people. I remember I even asked my drug-addled brother if he wanted to be in it, and he said no. Probably for the best.
Yeah.
I thought that would have made sense. But I was still a little bit let down. I was like, oh, he doesn't want to be in our terrible band? What's wrong with them? Why not?
Well, we didn't know it was terrible yet back then, to be fair. Yeah. I mean, we can reminisce all we want.
Visions of the future were still bright back
yeah,
then.
Yeah, oh yeah. We.
So this song, this was back when I worked at Strange Adventures, the comic store in Fredericton, New Brunswick. And before the fancy new digs, it was like the middle digs, the big weird warehousey looking place. And there was no toilet paper or something upstairs, or was almost out of toilet paper in the bathroom.
Right.
And that was the initial inspiration for this song.
Oh, this is none other than Vomit in Terror.
Yes, this
by the Tragically Hip Hop.
Our first officially finished tune. So let's give that a little play.
Let's walk down memory lane here.
That song is fucking almost, what is that, like 8 years old at this point?
Yeah, and only 52 seconds long.
That's right. That's fucking, I was always a fan of short songs. I absolutely love short shit.
Wow.
Pretty much all my different bands have all involved shortness in some way or another. So, what do you think? Impressions of that song after all this time? I'm still pretty proud of it.
It still holds up. I mean, there's a coherent story there.
Right. And toilet paper, I had to use his hand to wipe his fucking... his ass.
And you know, we've
all relate.
Yeah, we've all been there in one capacity or another, or at least heard about someone. And so, you know, it was relevant in 1998 and it's relevant in 2006 is what I'm trying to say here.
I agree. And my friend Andrew, when he heard that, he told me that instrumental sound, it reminded him of like flying through a futuristic sewer or something.
First of all, there's not going to be sewers in the future.
If there were, though, they would play that music in them just all the time.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, then we did, I don't know, kind of a procession of songs.
Yeah, because this isn't necessarily a remix.
Yeah, well, this is it. So we got to actually explain the history of this one song.
Right, yeah, because I was listening to this again the other day, and at first I was just like, what is this about? But anyway,
really?
it kind of came back to me. So, correct me if I'm wrong, so the story is that the entire neo-old school band lived,
family, if you will.
Family lived in your room on the third floor back home.
Right. So it was like, and this one little room we were all crammed in with only one bed.
With only one bed. And for some reason, within this particular song, everyone is violently ill.
Actually, hold on. You know what? I'm going to go back a bit here and
slow things down here for a minute.
So let's just speak about the number 8 version.
The number 8 version.
So we did this song, and it was about how we only had this little room and one bed, so we all worked in kind of shifts of, like, people would get up and rap while one guy slept, and, like, the hip-hop factory.
Right.
And then we did a remix called the number 8 remix from, you know, The Simpsons, of course, Barney's Yoko Ono girlfriend.
And, yeah.
And for some reason, the number 8 one is my favorite one. It's just fucking weird. And the other one was almost like a real song. And then we did another remix after that was almost like a real song also. But this middle remix that just sucked is my favorite one. And well, what was it called? The number 8? Like, I don't remember what the original song was called.
I don't know either. I can't remember. Man, do you have it on here?
I could have swore I kept that shit. Go to Bread.
Go to Bread. God.
Because it was like we only had the bed, but the bread. Yeah. You notice our names are fairly abstract. Like that first song about wiping your ass was called Vomit and Terror. Why? I don't know.
Well, I believe the song was originally called Vomit and Terror, and the lyrics came later, but the name was already there.
Right. So we just kept the, like, the demo name.
So,
all right. So here's Go to Bread, the number 8 remix.
Number 8.
Number
Number 8.
Lying in the communal bed, trying to get some sleep.
Number 8. My arms getting hot, so it's sliding both beneath.
Number 8.
The pillow where it's cool, I wish I was
number
in the
eight.
Pool.
Not the studio that's loud, where sleep
number
is
eight.
Not allowed.
1 hour a night is all
number
we
eight.
Get.
Because the rest of the guys haven't gone to sleep
number
yet.
Eight.
And we've only got one bed, so we all have to share.
Number
it
eight.
Makes me see red, if we only had a spare.
24-7, everybody keeps rapping.
If we start
number
to fall
eight.
Asleep, you know we're getting a slapping.
You know we've got
number
a serious
eight.
Lack of material.
Every day we only get to
number
eat three
eight.
Bowls of cereal.
The bed's all shitty and the springs are busted.
Number
poop
eight.
Into your ass and most of them are rusted.
The guys walk by with pots
number
and banging out a beat.
Loudly yelling out the rhymes, I just want to
number
sleep.
Eight. You know it's always full and I have to use the
number
toilet.
Eight. I go back to bed and I'm afraid I'll have to soil it.
I'm falling back asleep and I lay there smiling. Funk
shakes me awake and
number
says...
Eight.
Up, man. Time to do some rhyming.
So that was our seriously...
Number eight.
Forgot about
that. Was a seriously avant-garde fucking tune right there. Like, that was like...
There's a lot going on there. Yeah, so that's the story of
see, that's,
one bed.
That's like not music from the past or music from the future. That's music from an alternate reality is what that is. That's like a number one hit.
Based on a story that we may... have made up.
And those number eights, they sound haphazard, but I put a lot of time into where each number eight is going to hit. Because if you listen real close, as we did back in the day, back again and again, there's something hilarious about some of those where you think they're going to hit on beat and they just don't quite. And it's funny. To me, it was funny. You can delve fucking deep in this shit. I'm like an archaeologist of my own shit. So then we did... okay, so this is Vomit in Bed. And the reason I like this particular remake so much is that... I've never heard a song where people are on the verge of vomiting virtually the whole time.
Yeah, like, I mean, if you know, if you really want to dissect the concept of this song, I mean, this is some kind of sweatshop the neo-old school guys are working in, because they're so sick that they're still, you know, throwing down beats, even though they're obviously ill. They can't just break. So as opposed to just... you know, throwing in the towel. It's like, guys, let's use this. Let's talk about what we're going through. And it's real. It's all there. It's real.
And obviously, maybe just like one guy got sick. But since we're all in the like eight guys in the hip hop factory or whatever, that we all caught the same virus.
Yeah.
We're fucking hardcore.
Well, and
man.
There's only one goddamn bet. I mean, just before you start this, I have a puking in the bed story. It's not interesting. But
I'm
just,
already
like,
riveted.
Just, how it pertains. Anyway, earlier this year, I was a little drunk, and I left a party with some other kids. And then, anyway, I mixed too much of the chi and the swag, if you know what I'm saying. Anyway, I was so fucked, I went and collapsed on my bed, fully clothed, shoes on. Like,
oh, that'll happen. Shoes on is pretty bad.
And like, but I'm not talking passing out. I'm talking lying in bed and getting like the spins and wanting to pass out, but being anyway. And I went to bed with the garbage can in the bed with me because
so
I was being
kind of, you could
so,
tell it was coming.
Yeah. Anyway, so I was
preemptive strike.
Puked. Anyway, I woke up 2 hours later and pitch dark in the room, but I felt some wetness. Anyway, and I was still drunk as fuck, for those of you who know the expression. So I got up, turned on the light, saw, you know, there's puke in the bed, but I was still
so
fucked up.
Did any of it get in the bucket?
What? Well, you see what happened? I didn't actually puke in the bed, but since I had the puke bucket in there, it just kind of spilled, you know? It just, anyway, so as opposed to cleaning it up, I took my only towel that I had and laid it over top of it and went back to sleep.
That's fucking sick.
Which reminds me of another story. I'm sorry that I'm getting off on such an urgency.
Very interesting.
Anyway, I had a party this year, and these two guys were roommates. It was an all you can drink party. I collected all this money and bought 9 2-4s. And those, I don't know if Yanks have 2-4s, but for the record, a 2-4 is a case of beer that has 24 beer in it. So I bought 9 of these things. Anyway, so these two guys were roommates, got into a fight in my house. And anyway, but it got broke up. No one was hurt or anything.
It's too bad because if that was like a battle royal, you guys have tons of beer bottles to be smashing.
Yeah, that's
on each
right.
Other.
Anyway, and so we sent them home separately. One guy went home. And then, like, half
like,
an hour later, another guy went home, so they wouldn't start
fighting
again.
Opposite ways down the street, so they would take a different route.
Yeah. Anyway, So my friend Mike was one of these guys. He woke up the next morning and didn't open his eyes, he says, but he wakes up and he feels wetness. And he knows, he's like, first of all, he's like, I thought that I pissed my pants.
Right.
Anyway, and then he opens his eyes and looks, and there is puke all over the place, and it's Kraft dinner puke, not just normal puke.
Now, did he eat Kraft dinner? So it wasn't like a puke offensive, was it?
He claims he didn't. Oh. So what he did was he went to his roommate's room, and there was a little bit of puke residue on the pillow. And he believes, even though his roommate denies, that he got up in the middle of the night and puked on him while he was passed out and then went to bed.
That is fucking sick, man.
Anyway, so Mike, once again, as opposed to cleaning up, flips the mattress over and goes back to bed. Like, I'm talking, like, macaroni and cheese puke here.
Yeah, because, like, I remember one of the CKY videos, CKY2K, I think, they pissed on the dude on his sleep and then used the shit thing, but I've never seen, like, puke on a sleeping man. That is so fucking wrong.
Anyway, so, but he claimed he didn't do it, but, I mean, you didn't eat Kraft dinner, and the guy's got puke residue coming out of his mouth on the pillow. I mean, you don't got to be Matlock here.
Man, though, drinking, seriously, it's fucking ridiculous what it can do to people. The house on Saunders Street I lived on in New Brunswick, there was the second floor, the end of the hall, there was, to the right, the bathroom, straight ahead was my room, and to the left, nothing, just a little alcove or whatever. And one night, Dave Jenkins came upstairs, and I heard him stumbling down the hallway, and then I heard piss hitting wood, like hitting the floor. So my door was open, so I just kind of poked my head out, and I was like, Dave, that's not the bathroom. And he turns to me with like this half eyes open, glazed fucking look, like seriously didn't know where he was. I was just glad that he at least turned in one direction and didn't just pee forward, because it would have been like almost straight on me. So then next morning, I'm downstairs watching TV. Dave stumbles downstairs and I'm like, so you didn't quite find the bathroom last night. He's like, what are you talking about? I was like, you know the bathroom to the right? Well, you turned to the left and pissed in the little alcove. And he's like, no, I didn't. I was like, oh, well, I sure didn't clean it up. Go up and check. And he comes back down later and he's like, I'm sorry, guys. But just no memory, no conception, like sleepwalking kind of. Man.
You know, it happens. Pissing all over the place.
So what with this speak of bodily functions and vomit, here is the Tragically Hip Hop's Vomit in Bed.
Classic track.
This would be the final remix of Time of Him.
Lying in the communal bed, vomiting in my sleep. My arms are getting sticky, so I wipe them off my feet.
The pillow that was clean, and I think I'm turning green. In the studio that's loud, where puking's not allowed.
One vomit a night is all I get, because the rest of the guys haven't... not puke yet.
We've only got one bucket, so we all have to share. Make me see red. We only had a spare.
24/7, everybody needs to puke. If someone doesn't barf, then you know it's just a fluke.
The bed's all pukey and the sheets are crusted. Sticks on your ass, makes people disgusted. The bucket's always full, and I have to fucking vomit. So I run to the window and projectile like a comet.
Falling back to sleep and I lay there heaving. Matt shakes me awake and says,
fuck man, quit puking all over the fucking bed!
So much angst.
Man. So, we got many songs. Like, how many? Let me do the quick.
Yeah, we're not very far through here.
And
we're
and
still
these are
in the
like,
Tragically Hip Hop. We have albums to go through here, people.
These are literally, like, my idea of our best of type of shit. But, counting all of my unused instrumentals and all the songs and various little mixes and shit that I made, what do we got here? We have an astounding 107 separate files. Those are all different sound files of some one kind or another.
Like?
We will not be going through all 107. So there's some other weird miscellaneous songs in between here. We'll get into them sometime, do some supplementary shows about
right.
our various other musical endeavors. But and we did a bunch of covers. We did... Busta Rhymes and so on. And
the covers were always fun.
Yeah. Except they weren't good. They were terrible. Except the classic ODB, may he rest in peace, Got Your Money. I swear, I think our version is better.
I would agree. I think this is quite possibly one of the greatest covers ever. I mean,
really, what else is there to say? You've all heard this song, and now you're going to hear it again, only better.
And you can actually understand the lyrics this way, and it's just better in every single way.
And I think our ODB impersonations are fucking sweet.
Baby.
Oh, baby.
I dedicate this to all the pretty girls.
All the pretty girls.
All the pretty girls in the world.
And the ugly girls, too.
Pretty anyways, baby.
Give me your number, I'll call you up.
You act like pussy, don't interrupt.
I don't have no problem with you fucking me.
But I got a little problem with you not fucking me.
Baby, you know I'll take care of you.
Cause you say you got my baby and I know it ain't true.
Is it a good thing? No, it's bad, bitch.
Oh, good, I was, makes you switch.
So I walk on over with my crystal.
Bitches, niggas, put away your pistols.
Dirty won't be having that in this house.
Cause bitch, I'll cripple your style.
Now that you hear my calm voice,
you couldn't get another nigga who she won't get moist.
If you wanna look good and not be bummy,
girl, you better give me that money.
Oh. Hey, dirty, baby, I got your money. Don't you worry, I said hey, baby, I got your money. Hey, dirty, baby, I got your money. Don't you worry, I said hey, baby, I got your money.
So I glance at this girl and the girl glance at me.
I whisper in her ear, you wanna be with me?
You wanna look pretty though in my video?
Oh, dirty on the hand, I let you all know.
Just dance if you caught up in the Holy Ghost trance.
If you stop and I'm put the killer ass in your pants.
I'm the ODB as you can see.
Every eye don't you be watching me.
I don't want no problem cause put down
in the ground where you cannot be found.
I'm just a dirt dog trying to make some money.
So give me my streets and give me my honey.
The radio plays this all day, every day.
Recognize I'm a fool and you love me.
None of you better look at me funny.
Yeah, and you know my name, now give me my money.
Hey, dirty.
Sing it.
Baby, I've got your money.
Sing
don't
it,
you
girl.
Worry. I said, hey.
Just shake it right now.
Baby, I've got your money.
Dirty wants his money. Think you should all give me his money.
This is, in many ways, the crown jewel, I think, of the Tragically Hip Hop experience.
Yeah, this was great. To be honest, though, this wasn't much of a team effort. This is all Keith.
And it basically took me a whole week. I just holed up inside, and just the whole 7 days just like worked on this one song. But I remember when I played a little demo version of like the beginning of this to somebody. He's like, "Wow, that was pretty cool." Like, I almost believe you guys could have like a real musical thing going on. And I was like, "Well, thanks a lot, Dick. Hey, we already made 80 songs, you know."
I already made like an affinity of those at Skokan.
Exactly. This was called The Sample Song, later renamed You Goddamn Motherfuckers, The Sample Song.
Yeah, and I mean, what's great about this, I mean, this really exemplifies all of the things we were quoting then and before that.
Yeah, if you guys can identify all of these, congratulations.
Now, one of the things that's really interesting, too, is this was the first or second season of Futurama,
right.
Thus laden with classic Zap Brannigan moments.
Yeah, I think that was season one.
That was that summer, you know?
Yeah.
That was all about.
This really sums it up, for sure. Like, yeah, if you needed a song to sum up that year, this is the fucking song. There's even a quote in here. I didn't know where it was from until later. It was fucking Lloyd Bridges from Hot Shots, where he's like, how does that line go? I can't see a goddamn thing, or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And
I don't have a fucking clue, Lou. Fucking clue.
Yeah, that's the one. And me and Matt were like, man, what is that from? Like, we know it's from something hilarious. And then, like, 2 years later, we saw it on TV, and we're like, fuck, that's that thing from the sample song. Nice.
Also, no paragraph 2, no use of the so-called 7 dirty words. These are cocksucker, motherfucker, fuck shit, cunt, cock, and pussy.
You goddamn motherfuckers. You goddamn motherfuckers. You goddamn motherfuckers.
I shag your rock, baby.
You goddamn motherfuckers.
Why?
You goddamn
what's
motherfuckers.
The significance? I don't know.
I shag your
rock, baby.
I do.
You goddamn motherfuckers.
Miranda.
You goddamn motherfuckers.
Hey, look. That's that Brannigan ship.
Wow.
Be Zap Brannigan.
Get
back to your question.
Be Zap Brannigan.
burn. This you never even say. You kind of have to saw your arms off.
Don't go back, right?
Oh, yeah.
How many assholes we got on this ship anyhow?
Yo!
Surrounded by assholes!
Ding dong, ding dong,
I'm never gonna get used to the 31st century. Caffeinated bacon, baconated grapefruit, Admiral Crunch.
We're just very good friends. We like to hang out. Can I kiss you here?
No!
So do you really need to resort to the black arts to keep our hormones in check?
At this point, I'm thinking no.
He broke his neck trying to suck his own dick.
What's on the menu this evening, son?
This time we are sure she's a woman, right?
Yes.
Good. Invited to my quarters. Oh, and have the boy lay out my formal shorts.
Boy, sir.
You lay out my formal shorts.
We've got, you know, armadillos and old trousers. I mean, it's really quite frightening.
You're in big trouble, though, pal. I eat pieces of shit like you for breakfast.
You eat pieces of shit for breakfast?
Damn. Now that was fun.
Ruby.
Mr. Nail, that's leprosy for you.
You already imprisoned her under Directive B10.81.
You mean Brannigan's Law?
Right, that law.
Which one?
Brannigan's Law.
Brody man, noochie noochies.
Who the fuck talks like that? That is fucking baby talk.
What a Nubian.
That way, fuck up.
All it took was a bad karate
move. You
guys are lightweight.
You're quite good.
You have the ring.
Also, you get a ring.
And I see your sport is as big as mine.
Here's my boomstick,
I was looking at books that I like.
The shitty Beatles, are they any good?
I'm shy.
Hey, stop.
I'm willing to put wave after wave of men at your disposal. Right, man?
I hate you. You suck!
I was never artificially created in the lab.
I don't have a clue what you're talking about.
Found anything yet? We ain't found shit.
It is a tasty burger.
There's 7 digits. Gluttony.
Greed. Law. Wrath.
What's in the fucking
box?
Luck.
You lie! You're a fucking
liar! Shut up! 21.
The first knife of the time.
He wants you to shoot him.
No,
no
doubt about it. They mark you in naked at the day you were born.
Bring me up.
Skin burning and half blind from that lousy.
Everyone!
They put you in that cell. And those bars slam home. That's when you know it's for real. Old life blown away in the blink of an eye. Nothing left but all the time in the world to think about it.
Believe me. Nothing is trivial.